morning and welcome to the morning show here on the Ancient World Podcast. It's a beautiful morning. It's about 9 degrees, sunny, partly blue skies. We see the mountains in the horizon, and it's a great feeling being up here again. And hope you're having a great coffee, a good start on your day, a great day in front of you. And we're going to talk more about Dante's Purgatory today, and it's going to be the whole episode about that. Chapter 6, where he meets a new person, and there's also some thoughts about the effects of praying, and also a little hint towards Beatrice. But we first wanted to just mention a little quote we found in a book about there's a study about the role of Saint Bernard at the end of paradise. And in the introduction, this is by Stephen Botteril. And then he says in the beginning here, "Briefly, my argument is that the Commedia is a Heraclitean river in which no reader can ever step twice and find it unaltered." So Heraclit is a Greek philosopher around 500 BC. So he believed that fire is the origin of all things and that permanence is an illusion, everything being in a harmonious process of constant change. It's also similar to this, like you cannot step into the same river twice because the water is flowing, so the river is never the same. It's in constant change. And this is a bit the feeling that I'm having now, like starting a new journey through now the second book, and like after having read it many times before, but it's always, it invokes new things in you as life is changing and you are changing, and then you have maybe learned some more things that is connected to the comedy or to history, and then it has this freshness and newness to it over and over, which is just like a huge joy. And this introduction also keeps saying that, less poetically, I would contend that there is a crucial difference between a first reading of the poem and any or all subsequent readings. And equally, that no matter how many times a reader opens a copy of Inferno at those mysteriously thrilling words, "Nel mezzo del cammin di nostre vita, mi ritrovai per una selva oscura che la dritta via era smarrita." And I particularly love this because this is what caught me the first time reading that opening of the Inferno, of the whole comedy, and being hooked immediately. So that's from that introduction. And I'm also reminded of something else going through this again, that how the three books are frame stories, like 1001 Nights or also like Decameron by Boccaccio, that you have an overall structure and then you have every chapter as its independent little unit. So there's also things about like having different layers, different levels, and the kind of the hierarchy, and what happens in each canto is a story, but then also the group of cantos can then convey a larger and more complicated story. And also you can extract like learnings from the overall group of poems that are not explicitly in any one of them. So there's a side thing here that Dante is using this technique to put even more kind of wisdom and the beauty and reflection into the whole work. So now for chapter 6. In short, Dante is leaving. He's standing in the middle of the group of the indolent. He is moving past them, and then he talks a bit with Virgil. Then they meet a new person, Suerderello. And then there's a long rant about how horrible Italy is towards the end. So I'm just going to pick a couple of highlights. He compares this, like he's standing in the middle of the group, as being in some sense as popular as one who's winning a dice game, and then people are flocking around the winner to kind of get a bit of the recognition or a bit of the shining from the one who's victorious. But it's for a different reason in this instance, that is more because all the souls are begging Dante, because they know that he's a real person, that he's going back on to the earth, to the earthly life, that the souls are begging Dante to make more people on earth pray for them, because they're stuck in ante-purgatory, like the pre-purgatory, and the more people on earth praying for them, the faster they will start the climb of the real Mount Purgatory. So But this makes Dante wonder about the effect of praying. So he says, once I had freed myself from all those shades, meaning the souls, who prayed only that others pray for them and thus quicken their way to bliss, I said, it seems to me that somewhere in your verse, you, O my light, this is Dante saying to Virgil, deny explicitly the power of prayer to bend the laws of heaven. Yet these souls ask precisely for such prayers. Does this then mean their hopes are all in vain? Or have I failed to understand your words? And then Virgil half answers and half points towards what's coming in the third book. He says, what I once wrote means what it says. Yet if you think about it carefully, you must see that their hopes are not deceived. High justice would in no way be debased if ardent love should cancel instantly the debt these penitents must satisfy. And then he keeps saying, do not try to resolve such deep a doubt. Wait until she shall make it clearer. She, the light between truth and intelligence. You understand me. I mean Beatrice. She will appear upon the mountain top. You will behold her smiling in her bliss. There's such a profound moment there when he says that Beatrice is then the light between truth and intelligence, in the sense that Beatrice is also the symbol of theology and revelation and symbolism and also love and this kind of the symbolic deep. And then quickly after this, I say, look, says Virgil, the mountain casts a shadow now. So we just remind about time again. Like time is now over noon, so it starts to cast a shadow. So they've left the group of the inland, had this question, and then they see one person. But see that spirit stationed over there, all by himself, the one who looks at us. He will show us the quickest way to go. And then it says, Virgil went straight up to him and asked directions for the best way to ascend. So this is interesting because it's helpful to always remember the allegorical level or layer of the story. So in some sense, what this means is Virgil as a symbol of reason and intellect. It's a bit like Dante is describing like your inner process, that your intellect might start to rush ahead. Like there's an impatient in your reason that wants to understand quickly. So that one is rushing ahead to what's new to try to find the fastest path to finish the whole project and endeavor. But then the shade ignored the question put to him, asking of us instead where we were born and who we were. My gentle guide, meaning Virgil, began, Mantua. And the other, until then all self-absorbed, sprang to his feet and came toward him. Oh, Mantuan, I am Sordello, of your hometown. And the two shades embraced. So this is Sordello and Virgil. On the side there, Mantua is a really, really beautiful town in north of Italy. It's a hidden gem, very few tourists. The architecture is fantastic, very nice people. And it's this kind of romantic, idyllic little town with lots of waters and rivers around it. And like the twilight, the whole light there in the afternoon is just very, very beautiful. Highly recommended to go. And that is the birthplace of Virgil also. Like the real person, the poet Virgil from the Roman Empire was born in Mantua. And then Sordello is 9 minutes now. We're going to wrap this up quickly. So Sordello is an adventurer and a poet. He wrote several things, among others, political and moral poetry. One was called The Plan. And then there he talks about the shortcomings and vices of 8 contemporary rulers that are condemned with fierce indignation. So this is like the foreshadowing again of the point of putting Sordello there in what comes in the next canto. So, and then the rest of the canto, which is like almost half of it, is very long. It's just a rant from Dante about how horrible Italy is. Oh, wretched Italy, search all your coasts, probe to your very center. Can you find within you any part that is at peace? What matter if Justinian repaired the bridle? If the saddle is empty now, the shame would have been less if he had not. Justinian is the emperor, Roman Empire emperor, who was in Constantinople from 527 to 565, and then he moved the Roman Empire back into Italy, first to Ravenna and then later back to Rome. So it's very important. He has a whole canto in the Paradise. And then, see, Dante talks about Florence a little bit more positively in some sense. How happy you must be with this digression, for you are not involved. Thank you, resourceful citizens, for that. And then there's more. Some men think twice before they're offered a public post. Your citizen accept before they're asked, shouting, I will gladly sacrifice myself. And then there's more about just negative things about the state of Italy at the time of Dante. Okay, so we're going to stop it there. A little bit over 10 minutes. We will keep it even shorter in the future. But there's much to say about this one. So just then want to have the final words. I just hope you're still having a great morning or a nice morning walk, or if you're sitting at the porch and enjoying the coffee. And I hope you have a great day in front of you. And thank you so much for listening, and see you again soon.